Thanks for listening to the audio of 717 Church. This is a place where we continually strive to worship Jesus as the King with our lives, wreck our personal kingdoms to build His kingdom, and live out God's Word in the way that we interact with others. For more information, please visit 717.church.
Morning, church. My name is Julius. If I haven't met you, I'm very blessed to be with you today and be able to do the scripture reading. Just want to thank the worship team. I don't know if you felt it, but worship was awesome this morning. Thank you for taking us into the throne room and just worshiping with the King. That's beautiful. And before I read, I just want to thank you as a church. I think we can so often look over little moments that actually lead to big impact, and showing up every Sunday with your hearts and your stories, whether it's here or in people's homes, you're making an impact. I know I feel it. I hope you feel it as well. So thank you, church, for showing up the way that you do. This morning's scripture is Nahum 1, verses 7 through 8. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete and end of adversaries, and he will pursue his enemies into darkness.
First off, I'm like beaming. Julius is a blessing to me as a friend, and what his words shared this morning was a blessing because God is kind to us, and for us to be together this morning. This morning's going to take a little bit of setup to kind of get where we're going, but I just want to thank you for being a part of what God's doing here, and more importantly, being a part of his kingdom. And for many of us, that is like this learning process of going, okay, God, what do you want to do? And so thank you for considering that question. Thanks for being a part of it. And thank you for stepping into God's word with us today. So we're in Nahum chapter 1. How many of you knew Nahum was a book? I totally knew it, right? Like, I was like, I want to be honest with you. I obviously was prepping for this, so I read Nahum, right? But I had only read it two times before. One of them was when I was laid up from my Achilles surgery and I was catching up on Bible reading in a year. And so I was sitting on the couch speeding through the minor prophets and just going to town. And it was a quick book, right? And I marked it off quickly. But man, the impact is probably a little bit more this time and this go around. And so this morning, last week, everybody remember what we celebrated last week? Easter. Good. How many feels like already it was like ages ago that we were 7 a.m. freezing on the top of a hill? Thank you, Dwayne and Carol, for hosting us. It was a great time, right? So Easter was last week. That was only 7 short days ago. Now, here's my question for you. This is important. Since then, how many of you had something happen this week that made you question, maybe not what you believe, but made you question, God, what are you doing? I did. Maybe there was a small reoccurrence of something maybe that's been a struggle for a long period of time. Yep. Or maybe it's a fresh battle of going, okay, God, I don't understand it. Why are you doing this, right? And so for many of us, that looks like pain, physical pain, relational pain, all kinds of different things, right? But I don't want you to raise your hand for this, but this is what I want to ask you. Is how many, when that moment came, you lost that battle that week? So we celebrated Easter. All of a sudden, in the last 7 days, something happened that goes, man, are you serious? How can this possibly happen, right? And I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, I lost a couple battles this week, even though I just celebrated Easter. And so my next sentence, actually the next two sentences I'm going to give to you, can easily feel like Christian cliche, right? But I think it's important for us, as we're working through Nahum, to go, okay, God, I need to decide this. The first one, that God is good. And the second one is that we are better because we're part of the kingdom. And so what can easily feel like a cliche, we just celebrated Easter, right? We reminded ourselves of what God did for us. We reminded ourselves of the empty tomb and the empty cross and what price that was paid for us. We reminded us ourselves, and within a few short days, I'm going, man, I'm losing a whole lot of battles that I didn't think I was going to lose. That's me. Maybe that's true for you this past week. And so this is part of the reason why we look at this. Church is not a come and show up thing. It is a journey together because that's how weeks go. We are choosing to integrate our lives together going, I need to be constantly reminded of what Jesus is doing. Right? And so those two statements, he is good and we are better because we're part of the kingdom, they're two huge statements that shape most of our faith. Being in the kingdom is a big deal. And this isn't an exclusive group, right? If we're not saying you can only do this, this, and this to be in the kingdom, right? Here's the three marks that all of us share if you claim Christ, okay? Three things. This is three things that we're all the same. Number one, we are all sinners. Number two, we, in claiming Jesus, have surrendered our lives to his love and grace paid for by an empty cross and an empty grave. And number three, by surrendering this life, we're saying it's not about us, it's about him. We all have that in common, okay? Those three marks are the basis of our relationship both with Jesus and those around us. So if you take a look around, most of us would say we claim Jesus and we share those three things. We're sinners, we've surrendered our lives, or we're at work surrendering our lives, and we're saying this life is not about us, it's about him. Those things give us purpose every single day because of what he has accomplished. Those marks mean all the moments, everything you went through, all the things are moments, all of those things are opportunity for his glory. So think back for this past week. Those aren't losses. Those aren't battles lost. They're moments for him to get glory. And you say, well, Jer, I messed up. I did this. Yep, you did. But there's opportunity there for God to use that for his glory. And so even being here together today, there's opportunity for all kinds of things. There's opportunity for worship together. We can come together and under one roof and say, you know what? God, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. We can engage each other. We can hear a little bit about his stories. That's why we believe in relationship is go, we hear a little bit about your week and go, you know what? I need to check back with them this week because that sounded pretty hard. Or maybe for the first time you let something out that you've never let out before and they go, I love you. Let's go. Let's step into this. It can provide accountability. Hey, can you check on me this week? When we ask each other how we are, we actually mean it. How are you? Do you ever have somebody ask you how are you and then like lean in with big eyes? How are you? And then you know they're real. When we hear heartache, we don't have to fix it. We don't come to fix it. We come to seek the Lord in it. And this is why we say we're a part of the kingdom. We are wrecking our personal kingdoms to build his. We are following him with our lives. We are worshiping the king. That's what we're after. That's what we're attempting to do. That's what we're trying to journey towards. That's what we're walking towards. And this plays out in all kinds of things. This plays out in text messages. Anybody ever get a perfectly timed text message that goes, man, that's a God thing? Phone calls. Nobody likes to be on the phone anymore, I don't think. But phone calls, I believe, are from the Holy Spirit also. When you spend time with somebody, when you invest in others, When you're sharing resources that you believe is God's anyway, so you're going to share those. That is being a part of the kingdom. When we drop meals off to each other, when we're praying for each other, even if they don't know you're praying for them, that is a part of the kingdom. And the difference between this just being a cool place of nice people that are fun to hang out with, and some people are funny and some people are weird, right? The difference between it just being a cool place to be is Jesus. We have to understand this is not a collection of just fun people that we just like. Instead, this is people journeying towards Jesus as he changes our lives day in and day out. All of us for all of him. And so as a part of the message today, I want to pause and I want to kind of set the story. I'm going to tell you two stories, and they're just snippets of people that are in this community, not here in this building, they're in this community that are a part of the kingdom that have made 717 better and never really crossed our doorsteps. Because I think we have to see it. Okay, the first one. Many of us have known a family that we're close to, who we've heard of a dad who is young, but his body is being ravaged by disease. Yet if you met him, he loves Jesus more now than he ever has. Their family is real. They tell you when it's hard, but they live Jesus daily. He holds Bible studies on Fridays. And yet he is a connection to how we're stepping into Lititz Mennonite. It's because he heard about what God's doing here and he knew about this and he said, God, what do you want to do? There's another story of a family that many of us are close to and or maybe you've heard of that are in the midst of the foster care process. The mom's writing and vulnerability as she shares the steps they're walking through is nothing short of life-changing. Yet she had a hand in naming our church. And she also helped by using what she does for a living by going, oh my word, I hear what their heart is and I want to connect it to the need of 717. And they got us to the table of sitting together and going, God, what do you want to do? And so I want you to hear, this is not about a building. Instead, it's using the brutalness, the hard things of your life and going, you're not alone. God has purpose in it. Are you going to allow him to use it for his glory? Because the question is, and the question that Nahum asks us, that we have to answer, is God good? Is God good? You see, those two families, they're working through things that are really hard. And if we went through all of our stories, and I know a large chunk of most of your stories, you could give me something that's really hard, and it is really hard. And God's asking, can I use that? Can I use that? Let me use that for my glory. And so for many of us, or many of you, you know our story. We've told many people our infertility changed what we thought was the rule and opened us up to what God wanted. Hard does not begin to define what those families are going through, what many of us are going through, yet we seek to be real and love Jesus. Not perfect, but surrendered. The goal is not perfection. The goal is not to win every battle, because it's not possible. The goal is to be surrendered, to use what you're going through, what God has, what is happening around you for his glory. You see, we can often miss out on the understanding of who God is and what he's teaching when we don't work through the details of the story. Okay, so let's pause. In our lives right now, society-wise, right, we hear a lot of rumors of wars. but they feel really far away, right? We have all the news, we have all the understanding, we feel, we see it, but they feel far away. Our safety and our comfort, though, can keep us from stepping into what God has for us, right? The safety and comfort we all want keeps us from stepping into what he's calling us to. And so, unlike most countries at the time of when Nahum was written, safety was never guaranteed. One of the things we read scripture is we got to realize that in scripture, it's not like now. No duh, right? But there was never a moment where they could say they were fully safe. They would build walls, they'd do all kinds of things, but they were never fully safe. And because Israel was constantly turning from God, they were constantly under attack. Think about how different you would be if you were like, oh my word, we could be raided at any time. You would live life differently. And so what it looks like for a lot of us is going, man, we might not be under physical attack by someone else, but there are many things in our lives that are spiritual attacks, that are things that we're working through, experiences, and we're going, God, where are you? So I want to give you some background, and we're going to set up, and then we're going to run, okay? So number one, Nahum means comfort. Nahum means comfort. The interesting thing is this isn't mentioned. Nineveh is the point of the book. It's not necessarily mentioned by name, but Nineveh's impending destruction, what God is saying in this book, would bring comfort to Judah, okay? This would be like an arch enemy finally being wiped out, and that would finally bring comfort to the people, okay? The dates to the book are somewhere between 664 and 612 BC because Nineveh was wiped out in 612 BC. And so this is actually about 200 years after Jonah. We studied Jonah for a little bit, not that long ago, okay? Now, in 200 years ago, right, Jonah comes in, many of the people of Nineveh, over 100,000 people, huge revival. They turn their hearts to God. Oh my word, this is amazing. Man, this is a place to be. God is moving in incredible ways. Jonah's still not happy about it, but Nineveh turned. And then within 200 years later, Nahum comes along and says, man, they're right back to it. Does that sound like anywhere else we live? But their repentance, even Nineveh's repentance way back in the day, was actually to the chagrin, actually to the annoyance of Jonah. When Nineveh repented, Jonah was annoyed. So in a few short chapters, though, we read about a mass of people that are about to experience the wrath of God. We have to pause and recognize, for many of us, God's wrath makes us uncomfortable. Or we dismiss God's wrath because you're like, I'm safe. I'm with the good guys. I'm feeling good. I'm covered. And so with that thought, I have three thoughts for us this morning, okay? Long setup. And here we go. Number one, God is good and has not changed. Our interpretation of what he is doing shifts. God is good and has not changed. Our interpretation of what he is doing shifts. So let me read to you Nahum, the chapter 1, first couple verses. The Lord is jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. Verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is a whirlwind and a storm, and in the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. Skip down to verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. If you write in your Bibles, I encourage you to underline the Lord is good, and he knows, and if you want to write in your Bible, it's the word yada. We've been talking about that. It's to know. So in verse 3, it talks about his slow in anger and great in power. And then Yada, which we've been talking about a lot, right? His word, his loving kindness allows us to know him. So what do we learn in those first couple of verses? God is avenging, jealous, wrathful. He takes vengeance. He controls the world. He's slow to anger. He's great in power, and he will not clear the guilty. And yet in verse 7, the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Okay, so I want you to hear this. Take a second. Think about it. When you hear that the Lord is good, what's the first couple situations that come to mind? Write them down. When you hear that the Lord is good, what are the situations that you think about instantly? If you're like me, when I think about the Lord is being good, I instantly think about the situations that aren't going the way I want them to. Anybody else? I hear that the Lord is good, and I go, well, what about this? Where are you at? Don't you know what I'm doing over here? Don't you know what you should be fixed this by now? God, I don't, what? How can you be good? Seriously, God? You know, I've been praying for at least a day about this. I don't get it. But this is the crux of what we're working through in our time today. The Lord is good, and here's the question for us. Do we know it, or do you have faith in it? The difference for many of us is we know the sentence, we don't have faith in the fact that he is good. We know, oh yeah, God is good, amen, all the time, right? We can repeat phrases, but when it comes to truth of situations, we go, well, I don't actually have any faith in that. And I'll point it out to my, I'll show you in my life. You see, we start the chapter with a bunch of characteristics of who God is and will always be. Anybody else go, I didn't really hear that list growing up in Sunday school. The God we serve is much bigger and way more than we can imagine. This should naturally spark like some awe in us. Like, man, he is way bigger than I give him credit for. He is way more to him than I actually know. There is way more to him. But the cool part is God's loving kindness that constantly allows you and me to know him more. He is constantly at work in all situations, at all times, whether you can see it, whether you can feel it, whatever it might be. He is constantly at work allowing you to know him more. So whatever situation you're working through that you're going, oh my word, can he really be good when this is happening? His loving kindness is constantly at work so that you know him more. God cannot change. This world changes, but nothing surprises him. This is why throughout the Old Testament, God reminded Israel to remind themselves of what he has done. Not only what he has done, but how that plays out. And so here's the truth. My first thought is usually not that God is good. Okay, let's work through this together. Situation pops up in life. My first situation, my first thought is not, oh, God is good. You guys are way holier than me. Okay, so you don't have this problem. But my first thing is something happens and I'm like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to attack this thing. I'm ready to go after it. How can I control it? How can I fix it? I'm ready to go. My first situation, my first thought when I understand something just happened is never God is good. Okay? Man, if I can, I can fix this, God. I got this. If I pray about it, it's an added bonus. Like, God, I'm going for this. Let me, I can take care of this. A surrendered life starts with God is good. A surrendered life starts with God is good. So let's play this game. Think about some of the situations you've gone through in life. Where have you seen, as you can look back now, how God has moved? Anybody else? Many situations in my life where I look back and I go, oh my word, Jared, your mouth ran so much and you caused so much extra heartache if I just would have surrendered. Or Jared, you tried to fix it, or you tried to manipulate, or you tried to do this. There's so many things. God, if I would have just listened and started with, God is good. Okay? So we're all going to be honest here, right? The reason we can build community together is because we can all go, I don't ever start with God is good. Can we encourage each other towards that? So when we go to group, when we connect next week and we start these conversations, that's what we're basing them off of. Oh my word, you too? I do everything else but say, God, you are good. I will run in 1,000 different directions. I will do anything else but start with God is good. You know why? Because I want to be king. And the only way to move forward is to wreck my kingdom so that he can build his. A surrendered life starts with God is good. So take stock today. If you do nothing else, take stock today and go, God, I've seen you work. God, I've seen you in these situations. I've seen you. I need to repent and turn. And in those situations are where we see the fullness of who God is, both his patience with us and his work to bring us back. We get to see his love for us and the fact that he's disciplining us to bring us back to himself. His mercy and grace while he also waits for us, because this is my second point, is that he is the God of both. The God that you claim is the God of both. He can both discipline his people and love them as he calls them back to himself. He can carry out justice on the wicked and seeks to know and have them know him as their creator. That's the God we serve. He has a heart for all to turn to him. And this means you and this means me. And that all the evil in the world, he wants them to turn back to him. He's at work. Jeremiah 23:23 reminds us that he fills the earth. He sees all of it. He is at work accomplishing his will. And this means that our instantaneous relief or comfort may not be for our best interest. Let me say that again. God is at work accomplishing his will. This means that our instantaneous relief or comfort may not be for our best interest. You say, Jer, what about this situation? I say, I know this situation is brutal. Let's walk together in it. That's why we go to connect. That's why we build relationship. That's why we're a part of the kingdom, is so that we can encourage each other in those moments, because we're going to be real and honest and we're going to step forward in faith of going, God, you are good. And I'm going to lock arms with those around me and we're going to step into the kingdom. This is what we're about. The world is full of pain and brokenness. If we all opened up this morning, just in this room, we could fill books upon books of brutal situations. Then we have the ability to hear everything that's happening in the world, and the weight of it is crushing. The work for all of us to respond correctly and perfectly. There is a new nonprofit every day set to address a new issue, or there's 10 new nonprofits set to address, and we should be giving to them and volunteering for them, and we should be doing this, and we should be doing this. The weight of all of it can cause us to go, I'm just going to keep my head down. I'm going to kind of ignore it. I love Jesus, but I'll just settle in and ride this out till he returns. Anybody else thought about that? This guy did. I'll just settle in. You see, I'll take care. This is my thought. I'll take care of what I need to, But I'm going to sit on my porch sipping iced tea and singing, swing low, sweet chariot, until he comes and gets me. That's the best way. That's how I'm going to go out. I'm going to settle in. But what that is, that's using us our get out of hell free card. And I'm just going to do me. So let me be clear. I'm not asking you to do more for Jesus. I'm asking all of us, myself included, to do what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? Let's encourage each other towards that. Reach out, encourage, speak life, step in, give, open up your home, follow up, invite, pray, and then pray some more. I don't care what it is, whatever the Holy Spirit's asking you to do, that's what we want to encourage you in. I don't need you to do any religious activity. I need you to follow Jesus more than anything else. And so do not hear any guilt. Instead, say, okay, God, what do you want to do? I just celebrated Easter. I realized I failed all week long. That was me. Maybe that's you. And you know what? God, I need to do what you're calling me to. Because, and we skip down to verse 15, we are supposed to do what we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to read verse 15 to you. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, O Judah, fulfill your vows, for never again shall the worthless pass through you. He is utterly cut off. And so if you write in your Bibles, right, this is a reminder that Jesus is coming. All of the feasts, all of the things that were going on that Jesus or that God asked Israel to do was a reminder that Jesus is coming. So they had a whole schedule, a whole calendar, a whole thing to remind them constantly that Jesus is coming. You see, I'm guilty of sitting back and waiting for God to move. That is good. But there's a difference between trusting God and being complacent. Waiting and trusting in him is vital and important. He reminds the people of Israel to continue to do the feast that he set out hundreds of years before. He wants them to be constantly reminded because in this spot, in where they're at, right, they are being oppressed. Their life is under pressure. They are under all kinds of pressure. And they need to be reminded that the Messiah is coming. And for us, we await the second coming. Many of us, we've talked about it before, have said the words, oh, Jesus, come back now. Let's just get this over with. Do you see how bad it is out there? What's going on? Can you just come now? The active reminder was, though, to keep him focused, keep them focused that the Messiah is coming. The same is true of us. And so how can we encourage each other into obedience? How can we encourage each other into taking a step of faith? That's what we talk about, right? Is how can we actually be encouragements to each other to go, okay, you're good. God has paid. God has done those things. How do you take a step of faith? We know that God has been pressing us to step into situations. And we know he's moving us into, but we're fighting him the whole way. I'll give you a couple of areas of normalcy that most of us instantly want to fight. Number one, coworkers. Trying to be an influence or an encouragement, whatever it might be, to coworkers. Number two, family members. Many of us have people that either claim Jesus and don't act like it, right? Which is harder. And many who don't know Jesus yet. Or there's so much brokenness and heartache and years of pain, okay? Now, I'm going to say this one because it should be instantly a reminder that we need to pray. Anyone that flies any kind of flag that you don't like, Doesn't matter what you think. Many of us can instantly see a flag and go, ugh. God is good. God is good. Or yard signs. I don't know how yard signs became a thing, but they are. And they're instantly a reason to get mad at somebody. Yard signs. Okay? All right. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His justice reigns. Verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. This is the God we serve. He is not surprised by what is happening, but he promises to be actively working. He is turning your perceived plan upside down to use for his glory. Let me say it again. He is turning your perceived plan upside down to use for his glory. Will you fight him the whole way? He says he is a stronghold for us to rest and to know him. So the question stands, is he good? A surrendered life is the start to faith that is grounded in the truth that he is good. A surrendered life is the start to faith that is grounded in the truth that he is good. And so each time we finish our time together, number one, we do questions. And number two, I want you to hear this, is because there is hope for us. And so the last slide that we have, can we go, is there a hope to turn? Yep. This is what God is at work. Hope to turn our hearts, hope to be restored, and hope to be a part of something bigger. And so as we see Jesus throughout all of these books, this is what he's after. He's hoping. He's at work bringing hope into turning our hearts towards himself even more. He's hoping to restore relationships, even the ones that you don't think is possible. He's bringing hope into situations that we're a part of something bigger. And so as we finish, we're going to ask questions of ourselves. And so we always finish with a little bit of a song and a chance to process, because we want you to listen and hear the Holy Spirit and listen and then respond. And then we go into Connect Group asking these same questions of going, okay, God. So number one, does your view of God match what character traits he defines himself in Nahum chapter 1, right? A lot of times we have a view of God that means we can control God. And so when we hear God describe himself as bigger than that thought process, it goes, okay, well, what do I do with that? I either work into it or shut it down. So number one, does your view of God match what character traits he defines himself in Nahum number one? Number two, what areas of your life do you question God's goodness? We're all going to be honest here. There are all of us that have moments in our lives where we question God's goodness. No sense faking it. Let's be honest and step into it. Okay, God, show me where you're at. Okay? And number three, what are the things that the Holy Spirit is asking you to be doing? What is the Holy Spirit asking you to be doing? And you say, Jared, none of these questions necessarily resonate with me. That's okay. They're from the mind of Jared, so we know where that is, right? But we always believe that we are a part of the kingdom. And so we believe in praying for the body of Christ. Anybody that claims Jesus, we're on board with, and we want to pray for and encourage. And so Lititz Moravian Church, very much a start of the Lititz town in itself. And so we want to pray that, man, God moves in their church and moves in their hearts and says, okay, God, just like us, we need more of you. Okay? So we're going to play a song, and then we'll give you maybe a minute or two to process. If you have the opportunity, I encourage you, write a note. Do something on your phone so that you write this down and you can process throughout the week. Okay? And then I'll come back, pray, and then we'll close this portion of our service together. Father, we're thankful for your word. And so, Father, there is so much. There's so much to try to process and learn. And so, Father, I pray against anything that tries to rob us of what your Spirit is saying to us. Father, may we hear clearly the life-giving direction that you give and not guilt and shame and worry and concern. Father, we pray against anxiety. We pray against depression. Father, we pray against all the things that are trying to keep us from you. And so, Father, speak today. Father, as we go from this place, we are still a part of the kingdom. It doesn't stop in this room. Instead, we walk forward in relationships and things and opportunities and experiences and moments. And Father, all of those you know and you go before us in. And so, Father, may we have strength and wisdom to know what you want us to do. Father, thank you for each one here. And Father, thank you that many of us can sit here and say, man, our life is not perfect, but we have seen God work. And so, Father, as we go about this day, as we go about this whole doing life, help us. Help us to love you a little bit more in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening and being a part of this community. We hope that today's message helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and live out what His Word is calling you to. Hit the subscribe button below to follow us, share with a friend, or leave a review. If you'd like to give to this ministry, you can do so at 717.church.